This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank Sasso coming at you from A History with God Ministries. For this week's Godcast, I am flying solo. I'd like to welcome all of our partners, our listeners, our members, our subscribers, our family, our friends, and especially any first-time listener just joining us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I just got back from a wonderful trip I took with my wife, Christina. We were in the Pocono Mountains, and I'll tell you, the third day of our trip, Christina wanted to go on a hike. She loves to hike. So we went on a hike. If you ever go on a hike in Pennsylvania, especially, we went on the Appalachian Trail. 8 hours we hiked. 8 hours. But here's the thing. Pennsylvania, especially in the Poconos, is extremely rocky terrain. So I hope that warning helped you. It was great. It was a great workout. It was great. It really was. Christina took that mountain like a champ. It kicked my butt, but she was great. So during the week, the Lord had me start writing this Godcast for you guys, and I'm going to entitle it At the Cross. So much changed at the cross. I mean, everything changed at the cross. There's all of history one way, and then the cross happened, and then the rest of history is not the same. Everything changed at that moment. And the more I meditated and prayed about this, the more excited I got. I spend more time preaching to myself now than I ever did. The reality of the cross, though, just keeps getting deeper and deeper in my life. I think I understand His love, and then there's another level. I think I understand prophecy, and then there's another level. I think I understand forgiveness, and then there's another level. I think I understand His Spirit, and then, of course, there's another level. Well, that's what happens when you worship a God that's eternal. There's an eternal number of levels in Him, and there's always more to know about Him. We worship a God that's infinite, so we can never stop getting to know Him. And when you worship a God that's all-powerful, then you always see new things that He's done. Our relationship with Him is eternally exciting and fun because we're always discovering new amazing things that He's done. I was recently on our website reading an article by one of our board of directors, Keith Axum. You all know Keith Axum. And if you don't, go back a couple of podcasts, look for his name, click on it, and you're in for a treat. I can tell you that. The article he wrote is called What Really Happened at the Cross. It's the first article on our website underneath articles. And in this article, Keith talks about why so many Christians lead substandard lives. He gives two reasons. One reason was because they have a lack of knowledge about what the Bible actually says. And the other reason is that they just don't resist the devil. So Keith goes on to say that Christians, by and large, will believe what they are taught, and unfortunately, there is a lot of bad teaching out there. And I agree. So what I want to talk to you about today is what happened at the cross. I'm kind of preaching to myself here, so if you don't want to hear this, you can stop this now, but I'm just going to keep going. For the sake of this Godcast, I'm going to tell you three things that happened at the cross, as well as two reasons why they happened. Now, I know there were a lot of other things that got taken care of at the cross. Today, I'm going to focus on three of those things. Okay, so here are the three things that happened. Number one, the power of sin was broken. Before the cross, the planet was filled with what Keith Axum would call marionettes. You know, like Pinocchio. You know the story about Pinocchio? I'm sure you do. There were people whose nature was sin. They had a sin nature, and it didn't matter how much they struggled, how much they fought, they would end up always in sin. Always. They would land in sin somehow. Sin. You've probably heard a bunch of definitions about sin. You've probably heard some lists of sin. You probably have some lists of your own of the things that are naughty and the things that are nice, right? For the purpose of this Godcast, I want to describe sin as the thing that can kill you. The Bible says in Romans that the wages or the cost of sin is death. Sin is stuff that can kill you. Sin leads to death. And one of the wonderful, amazing things about being a Christian is that we get to be for everything that brings life and against everything that brings death. And sometimes we get tangled up in thoughts like, oh, is this right? Is this wrong? Should I do this? Should I not do this? Look, it's very simple. If it leads to life, it's from Jesus. If it leads to death, it's from the enemy. God's good, devil's bad. Got it? So, again, sin leads to death. Okay, so at the cross, the power of sin was broken. That nature that everyone on the planet had, for those who believed, there was now an opportunity to change that nature. Now, some of you might have been taught that after conversion, we still have a sin nature. And I'm sorry about that, but it's just not right. There are people I can get into a debate with about this. I'm not going to. Instead, I just want to go to Romans chapter 6 and show you something, okay? Romans chapter 6. I'm going to show you 7 lines out of Romans chapter 6 alone that make it clear that sin is dead to those who believe. Now, this list is on the website, so go print it out if you like to, or meditate on it. You have a copy, stick it in your Bible. It's good stuff. Ready? Here we go. And this is out of the Amplified Version. Romans chapter 6, verse 2. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? That's Romans 6, verse 2. Let's go to the second one. Romans 6, verse 6. We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with Jesus in order that we might no longer be slaves of sin. We're still in chapter 6. Verse number 11. So consider yourselves also dead to sin and your relation to it broken, but alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with Him in Christ Jesus. Verse number 12. Let not sin, therefore, rule as king in your mortal bodies, to make you yield to its cravings and be subject to its lusts and evil passions. Verse number 13. Do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members to sin as instruments of wickedness. Verse number 14. Sin shall not exert dominion over you. And another translation reads that sin will no longer be your master. I like that one a lot. Sin will no longer be your master. And here it is in verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you have become the righteousness of God. Oh, that is cool news. You've been set free from sin. And by the way, John 8:36, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free, unquestionably free. Now, I know some of you listening are thinking, okay, but I'm not experiencing that reality in my life. I still struggle with sin. I don't feel free. Well, I'm telling you right now that the Lord is going to deal with that issue before this podcast is over. But for now, you have to take the scripture at its word and believe that the power of sin was broken at that cross. It's what His blood did. Sin has no hold on you. The same way that when the strings were cut on Pinocchio, they could no longer hold or control him. Yes, I'm making another Pinocchio reference. So, the first thing that happened at the cross was that the power of sin was broken. The second thing that happened at the cross, your debts were canceled. When we sin, sin that leads to death, when we do anything that leads to death, something happens in that sin that obligates us to make it right. I remember hearing someone say once, I don't even have to repent or apologize when I sin because of grace. Well, grace says you don't have to apologize. Love says you better. Thank you, Lord. Here's the deal. We do need to go and ask forgiveness and apologize because that's just part of restoring relationships. But the penalty, the guilt that comes from sinning on the cross, that was paid for those who believe and accept His gift. Everything was paid for. I struggled with this for a long, long, long time. I did not get grace because I liked to do things myself. And I know I've shared this on another Godcast called A Grace That Offends. As a matter of fact, it was just on 2 weeks ago on the Best Of. I used to, now understand, this is not conscious thought, this was my behavior. After screwing up, okay, after sinning, I would always feel that I had to remain guilty or pay penance for like maybe 2 weeks. And if I could make it 2 weeks without doing something else wrong, then I'd be okay and I would feel good about myself again. Then God got a hold of me through teachings from Andrew Womack, Joseph Prince, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Keith and Teresa Axum, yes, and also, last but not least, Christina, my wife. And I got the revelation on grace, and I was like, wow, I don't have to be under this guilt thing anymore, and it's only been a week? So it went along like that for a while, and then a new revelation, a deeper one, hit my mind, and I would screw up, I would sin, and I would only stay in guilt and condemnation for like 3 days. I was so psyched. Wow, only 3 days of guilt for me. That happened about 2 more times, and by that time, the guilt would only last about 24 hours. So then I figured, okay, so it's the morning after I sin I could be free. And it was around that time that I saw the pattern of grace starting to work its way further and further into my mind, into my life. I began to look at it analytically, and I thought, so this grace, when does it apply? My first thought was that it applies immediately after I do something wrong, immediately after I sin. Wow, that is astonishing. But you know what? It's wrong. Because grace applied at the cross. It applied before I even thought about doing something bad. Before sinning. It applied when I was sinning, and it applied after as well. Even when I'm wanting to do the bad things, grace covers me. Grace is so great. When we walk in the light, well, not when we walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, by the way, he's also in us, which makes us in the light. So in addition to walking in the light, we're sleeping in the light, we're eating in the light, we're everything we do is in the light. So if everything we do is in the light, as the righteousness of God, when you sin, where is that done? In the light. When we sin in the light. Oh man, I can hear the hair on the back of some people's necks right now standing to attention. Well, wait a minute, Brother Frank. When you don't sin, you're in the light. When you do sin, you're in darkness. No, no, no. Why? Because again, as verse 7 points out, when you're walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Which means while we're in the light as he is, there might be some sins there in the natural, but the blood takes care of them. Wow. Wow. And you might be thinking, well, you don't deserve that. I know. That's the message of the cross. We don't deserve it. Your debts are canceled because of his blood. The message of the cross is this amazing thing that you don't have to do anything for. You don't get to do anything for. I mean, some of us I know want to do something to earn our salvation, but you can't. And the moment we give that up, that trying, is the moment you will understand freedom. So the first thing that happened at the cross was that the power of sin was broken. The second thing that happened at the cross was that your debts were paid. And the third thing that happened at that cross was when Jesus cried out and died, the veil between the Holy of Holies and basically us was torn in two, signifying that our access to the King of Kings was permanently available. And then he sent his spirit to confirm that and live inside of us. So all of the places where we are powerless to defeat sin on our own strength, guess what? We get to use the power of God. We have access to the presence of God. Every one of us. Every one of us has direct access to God, which is something we didn't have before the cross. So, the question, why then do I struggle with sin? Check this out. Free people can have as much bondage as they would like. What does that mean? Well, let's go back to Pinocchio for a second, okay? After he became a real boy, and he had no more strings attached to him, he went to Treasure Island, and there was a whole bunch of freaky Disney things there, and Pinocchio chose to put himself in a place where he was going to be in bondage. Treasure Island. Do you remember he was turned into a donkey? That's a nice way of saying he became an ass. Okay? So free people can have as much bondage as they want. And what the enemy will try and do is he'll try and undermine these three things that happen at the cross. The power of sin was broken. That was the first thing. Well, here's the first lie. The power of sin wasn't broken. The devil will do everything he can to convince you that you are still bound. And that theology that says that you still have a sin nature after you're born again, you know what that does to you? It makes you go, oh, it's inevitable. I'm going to sin. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And that's a lie. You are not an old sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You were saved. Now you're the righteousness of God. It's a lie that causes you to give hope that you can be free. Second thing that happened at the cross, your debts were canceled. Here's the second lie, that your debt isn't canceled, that you still owe. And because you still owe, you have all this garbage that's on your shoulders, all the sins of the past, all the times you screwed up, all of those things that happened, the devil will use those to condemn you and say, you're not free from that. You're worthless. You're worthless. You're worthless. Look at the way you still act. You still struggle with lying and drinking. You still overeat, oversleep. You still gamble. You still struggle with pornography. You are worthless. And the more you believe that Jesus hasn't paid your debt, the more that weighs on your shoulders. shoulders, the less you think of yourself, which makes you now more susceptible to act out in sin and therefore death. And the truth is, your debt has been paid. You are so free. You're so clean. Oh, this is getting to a lot of hearts. I know it is. You're so free. You're so clean. The blood of Jesus has washed you. Oh, but you don't know what I've done, Brother Frank. You don't know. Nothing you did is more powerful than the blood. Thank you very much. He has washed you so good. There's nothing more powerful than the blood. It is present in your life right now. The third thing that happened at the cross was that the veil was torn, giving you access to God now. And the lie there is, well, since you sinned, you're guilty. And now your guilt makes it so that God can't even look at you or fellowship with you or anything like that. Remember Jesus on the cross? God had to turn his head on Jesus. Think about how he must think of you. He can't even look at you. You sinner. You heathen. You shouldn't be praying for the sick. Those are some of the lies that will keep you from the presence of God. And when you choose to believe the opposite of that, that the veil is torn, that there is nothing that separates you from the love of God, not height nor depth can separate you from the love of God. The Holy Spirit really has come, and there really is opportunity for healing and prophecy and miracles and restoration and overcoming this sin identity. You're the righteousness of God. God speaks today, and he's real, and he wants to talk to you and reveal himself to you. And the enemy would like for you to not be able to hear the voice of God. He lies to try to separate you from God. And if you weren't already joined with the Lord, the devil wouldn't bother to talk to you. The devil wouldn't bother to try to separate you from Jesus because you already would be separated from Jesus. So, what do you do when you're struggling? The first thing you do is that you kill those lies. Any place that you have believed that you are bound to sin, there are no more strings on you, Pinocchio. There are no strings on you. You are truly set free. Anytime you hear that voice of condemnation, you break that voice off and say out loud, it's paid for. That's the trump card, right? That even when I do screw up, it doesn't count against me. Even when I do sin, it doesn't go on my record, so I'm free. Even when I act as if I'm not free, I'm still free. Should we sin all the more so that grace can abound? Romans 6:15. No, but if we did sin all the more, grace would abound because that's what grace does. It just doesn't stop. You're free. That's the first thing you do. Break the lies. You break the lies and you run to Jesus. It's his strength. We don't actually in ourselves have the strength to overcome temptation. Thankfully for us, we don't have to live with our own strength. We have at our disposal, check this out, omnipotent, unlimited power. We have the Spirit of God with us. We really can be free with his help. Okay, so I said at the beginning of this podcast that there are two reasons that those three things happened at the cross. One, because he loves us. For God so loved the world, right? It's the basis of Scripture. He sent his Son, first of all, just because he loves us. Just because he loves us. And what sin was doing was that it was leading us to die. And his love was such for us that he was like, I want you to spend eternity with me because I love you. I don't want to think of spending eternity without you. So I'm coming because I love you. That's why he came, to set us free. Without his freedom, we couldn't spend eternity with him. Because he's perfect, and we need to be perfect too. So the first reason he came was because he loves us. The second reason he came was because Scripture says that it was for freedom that he set us free. He came to set us free so that we would be free. You know why? Because free people are the hope of the universe. Free people are the hope of mankind. You, free from guilty and shame and condemnation, you, knowing that you're not bound by sin, are the hope of the universe. Hey, look, I'm sorry, but the hope of the universe is not going to be found in the Democratic Party. The hope of the universe is not going to be found in the Republican Party or the United States of America. The hope of mankind is going to be found in free people who are in love with Jesus. That's it. End of story, period. He came to set you free so that you would change the world. That's the cross, the power of God. And as Christina loves to say, Jesus didn't die on the cross to make you safe. He died on the cross to make you dangerous. So if you're a believer right now listening to this, and you're feeling trapped and isolated, you don't have to stay trapped and isolated. You can break those lies in your life and have access to the presence of God, and you can fellowship with other believers and the Holy Spirit who will lift you up and care for you and pull you out of trapped thinking. Being free, really does. It makes us dangerous. It makes us dangerous to the enemy. Change is coming, and it's coming because of you, because of believers who are intent on changing the world and are just silly enough to believe that they can. So remember this. We love you. God loves you. Jesus is Lord, and stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.